I heard a preacher say one time that when he got up, he got him a little drink of water, and he said, "If I can't preach, maybe I can drink water." So I hope maybe I could preach and not drink water tonight. But the thought that's on my mind, and I'll try to just get right into it and try to watch the time as well. Brother Stephen referred to it in his prayer, letting keeping our eyes focused. And this is something that's been on my mind. I've given a good bit of thought to this and did a lot of study. And you get further down into that chapter, I did a lot of word study further in this chapter here in the book of Colossians in chapter 3. And it's really, to me, an eye-opener when you get into it and you begin to find out some of those definitions of some of those words and what it's referring to. But I don't want to deal with the latter aspect of this tonight. I just want to deal with the first aspect of it. I want to deal with Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And I hope God will help me tonight, that's on my mind, to be able to set it forth in a way that you can be able to see and understand that where our eyes need to be. And here he says here, and he starts out in, well, let me just back up a little bit. Let me go back into Colossians here, because you go through this book, you'll find here that the Apostle Paul, in writing to the brethren at the Colossian church here, and he starts out, as the gospel comes to him, here in chapter 1, he's giving them, an update, the progress of the gospel as the gospel has been preached and taught and set forth to these brethren. He comes on down further into this chapter here, starts about verse 15, and he's talking about the preeminence of Christ. So when you get into that, you'll find that it pleased God that all of the Godhead should dwell in Christ bodily. I mean, that's everything. And I won't have time to get in and go back into the Old Testament, how everything in that Old Testament was pointing to that of Christ. But anyway, he's dealing about with the preeminence of Christ. Then he comes down a little farther there, and he said he's exhorting them to steadfastness in that of the gospel and the things of Christ. You know, will you be steadfast? You be unmovable in that. And he didn't only do it with Colossians, but he also did it with them in the Corinthian letter, if you'll remember. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, down about verse 59, you'll find he says, you know, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So here he's not only picked that up in Corinthians, but he's also picked it up here in the Colossian letter. And he's exhorting them to steadfastness. Then you come over into chapter 2, and in chapter 2 there, he's actually warning them against error. He begins to warn them that you can get caught up, you can get led off in error here, and you don't want to get off in error. You want to stay on the path of righteousness, as I guess you would say, on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Then he comes down to the bottom part of that second chapter, and he's dealing with the legalism of the aspect of it there with the Colossians. But anyway, I want to just come on down now to chapter 3. In chapter 3 in verse 1, he said, if ye then, so he's going back, he's referring, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And let me just stop there. Here, he says, seek those things which are above. Now, when I begin to think about seeking those things which are above, brethren, you say, well, am I to keep my mind on heaven all the time? Am I to keep my mind on the streets of gold? Are you to do that? If God will help me for a few moments tonight, I will hope that God will bless me to be able to show you by the Scriptures where our mind needs to be here in this time world. That's beyond this world. That's beyond this life here. Here he said, if you then be risen. In other words, if we be risen with Christ, in other words, we're talking here church members that joined the church, went into the liquid grave of baptism, been raised to walk in newness of life, as Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 6. And with him doing that over here, he said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. In other words, that affection there, if you begin to look that up on things above. I looked that word affection up, brethren. It means mind. In order for you to have your mind on things above. Now, we as God's people that's been born of the Spirit of God, brethren, do we always have our mind on things above? I know when you're on your job, you've got to think about what you're doing on your job, so you can't keep it always there. But what I'm saying, as much as possible, you need to keep your mind on things above over here. And he said, set that affection, your mind on things above where Christ above and not on things of this earth. In other words, brethren, when you begin to sort of think about the things that's on this earth, think about everything round about you. Think about all the troubles, all the trials, all the tribulations. Think about everything that families are going through, all the suffering and all the anguish that families are going through. Brother, I tell you, that's nothing there that's going to build you up. That's nothing there that's going to give you any hope. That's nothing there that was going to give you any outlook, a bright outlook when it comes down to that of life. But brethren, if you'll focus your eyes on that of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, you say, well, Brother Frank, how in the world am I going to do that? God, help me for just a few moments here. I'd like to sort of flip back over here, and I want to try to show you and prove to you by the Word of God, we have a brethren, that we are to keep our minds focused on that of the things of God over here, which is the Word of the Lord. If my mind, notice here, let's go back into Galatians in chapter 3. In Galatians in chapter 3, brethren, here he starts here. He says, let me just hit verse 7. He says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Did you catch that, brother? And he said, and the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. In other words, brethren, when I began to study that out and go back and look at it, the Scripture never said that. Oh, yeah, it was God. What Paul is actually doing here, he is equating what the Scripture said as to the same thing as God is saying. He says, seeing that the Scripture foreseeing over here, that God would justify the heathen through faith over here. In other words, when did he do that? If you begin to go back and look that up, that'll take you all the way back to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. Also over in Genesis 18 and also in Genesis 22, where the same thing is being repeated over and over and over again over here. So, brother, what the Apostle Paul is beginning to go back and what he's beginning to look at and what he's beginning to do here, brother, he is equating Scripture with the same thing as what God has said, brother. Over here, you say, well, Brother Frank, how in the world can you say that? Well, let's back up a little bit farther, brother, over here, and I'll try to give you another place. I always like to try to have at least two verses of Scripture over here to establish the point, brethren. But if you come over to Romans in chapter 9, and in Romans in chapter 9 here, you're going to find where the Apostle Paul is doing the same thing here. He says, notice here, let's drop down into verse 17 here in Romans 9. He said, for the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth over here. You get that, brethren, over here? He said, for the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh. Brethren, the Scripture never said that to Pharaoh. Brethren, when you go back and you begin to study that, God said that to Moses, brethren. He said that to Moses. And Moses and Aaron, when they come before King Pharaoh, brethren, over here, they are the ones that told Pharaoh that. And he had already told them in advance. He said, I'm going to harden his heart over here, that he won't go. Why was God going to do that, brother? He said that his name might be declared throughout all the earth over here, brother. And I'll tell you what, his name is declared throughout all the earth over here. So when I begin to look at that, you say, well, Brother Frank, how can you still, Father, say over here that the Scripture over here is the same thing as that of God? If you'll come over into the book of John, I think it's going to be over here. Notice here, in the book of John, and in chapter 8, brethren, and sort of let me start here about verse 26 here. In John chapter 8 and verse 26, he said, I have many things to say and to judge of you. Brethren, this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He said, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is truth. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Did you catch that, brethren? Christ said, I speak to the world those things that I've heard of him. What is it? Who did he hear it from? The Father. Notice here. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. How many times, brethren, are we in this same shape? They didn't understand. They didn't grasp it. They didn't get it. We don't either a lot of times, brother. I don't a lot of times. He said, then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. Catch that, brethren? I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. In other words, brethren, and you can come over here, if my mind serves me correctly, let me just back up here a little bit, brethren. That's a lot of scriptural references when it comes down to the things of the Lord. Notice here what he says here in the Gospel of John in chapter 5. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son also. In other words, brethren, what Christ is saying, whatever the Father does, that he's doing the same thing. As he's been taught of the Father, or as he hears of the Father, those same things that he does. You come into John in chapter 5, here, let's drop down about verse 30. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of him that the will of the Father which hath sent me. In other words, Christ said, I can do nothing. In other words, Christ said, as I've been told of the Father, as I hear of the Father, the same things that I speak, and those same things that I put forth unto you. Brother, when you begin to look at that over here, brother, that sort of tells me. And you can also go into the Gospel of John over here in chapter 6, I think it is, and down about verse 63. And when you begin to read that verse over there, you'll find that where here Christ is saying, my words are spirit and my words are life. Over here. So what he was saying was, his words are spirit and his words are life. All right? You'll find, brother, when you begin to look at this, I know we're dealing here with the inspired word, but go into the Gospel of John in chapter 1 and you're going to find, you know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in other words, brother, we have established now that here we're talking about the living Word that was in heaven, brethren, over here, it was the same as God. You come further down into that chapter and you're going to find over here where in that first chapter of John, where John said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld as the only begotten of the Father. In other words, brethren, that Word was made flesh, which again is talking about that of Jesus Christ, the precious Son of God. Brethren, when you begin to look at that over here, brethren, I begin to see, brethren, here, that this Word, as Paul was equating it over here, the Scripture or the Word is the same as God. It's the same as Christ, brethren. It's the same, they're one and the same thing. All right, my text was, is set our affection on things above. Then we as a child of God, what should we be doing, brethren? We should be setting our affection on the things above. What are the things above, brethren? This inspired Word right here, brother. Right here in time. I started out, I told you about some things in heaven above, but I'm talking about some things right here in time. This is what we should be doing, brother, right here. We should have our mind and our affection and everything. It should be set, brethren, right here on the things above. I couldn't help but think about when I was thinking about this, brethren. Here you come over into the Psalms of David, and I hope this will establish the fact over here, brother, where our mind ought to be, because this is exactly where David's mind was. You come over here into the Psalms of David. Let me just start here in Psalms 1. David in Psalms 1 starts out, he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, brother. When you begin to look at that, you know, what did David say? Blessed is the man, or happy is the man over here that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, brethren, where is his eyes at? Where is his affection at? Where is his mind? It's definitely not on the counsel of the ungodly, brethren. He's definitely not walking in that, brother. But his mind and his affection is set on what? On the things above. Well, he says, but watch this over here. He's talking about that child of God, that individual there in verse 2 here. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. Brother, where is his mind at? He said, in that law doth he meditate both day and night. In other words, brethren, I tell you what, when he's awake and he's got a few moments, his mind's on it. If he has a sleepless night and he's up at night, his mind's on it. You say, well, brother, what's so important about it? In other words, he's got his mind on it, brethren. A lot of times, when you read and study God's Word, there's some of the things that I found over here, you don't get it all at once. A lot of times, I've read some things I didn't understand. But I tell you what, it's stuck in the backside of my mind, the backside of my head. I will think about it. Maybe the next day or days to come over here. And maybe when it pleased God to open it up and to show it to me, then I would be blessed to be able to see it over here, brother. And you talk about some joy when you're blessed to be able to see those precious truths. That's some of the greatest joy that you could ever have in this life over here. I tell you what, it's been those times that when I'd be out and I'd be thinking about it, I hadn't been blessed to be able to see it or to understand it. I tell you, it's been those times when I was blessed to be able to see it. I'd just stop everything I was doing. You know, I'd run into the house. I said, you know, I got to show somebody this over here. You know, I got to tell somebody. You're talking about some joy, real joy, and some real happiness, brother. When you're blessed to be able to see that little nugget of truth, or that truth there, you say, why? Because it's going to benefit you as a child of God here in this low ground of sin and sorrow, brother. I tell you, the more we learn, and the more we can bring our lives into subjection over here with that of God's Word over here, brother, the more Christ-like that we become in this life. Oh, here. Don't you want to become that? I made a statement here recently, brother. I said, oh, here, try to get sin out of this flesh. I thought about that a little bit. It come back to me. Brother, you cannot get sin out of this flesh. It's an impossibility. But I tell you what you can do. You say, what's that? You can eliminate or get some of the sin out of your life. You see the two parallels here, brother? How in the world are you going to do that? How am I going to get this? Brother, it's like I said time again. How can you live a godly, righteous life to our Lord and our Savior, brother? How can you do that if you know not what He requires of you? How in the world are you going to know what He requires of you? Brother, you've got to read God's Word. I had one individual tell me one time, a good brother too, brother. He said, well, Brother Frank, so I come out every Sunday morning to hear you, and he said, I try to get all I can get and learn all I can get. I said, dear brother, if you come out on Sunday morning to hear me to try to get all you need, I said, you're not going to get all you need. I said, I've spent a lifetime, not only a lifetime, but I said, I've spent all week maybe digging in God's Word over here, trying to have something to be able to feed God's sheep with over here. And I said, and you have done nothing, you didn't think about it, you haven't meditated, and you're going to get everything you need? I said, you've got to read God's Word. You've got to read God's Word. You say, well, why have you got to read God's Word to be able to get it? That's where your mind's going to be. Oh, here. Let me sort of flip over here, brother. That's a blessing in doing that. Some say, oh, wait a minute now, Brother Frank. How in the world can you say that that's a blessing there? You come over here into the book of Revelation, if my mind serves me correctly. And that's one of, here in Revelation, in chapter 1. Notice here what he says over here. I won't verse 3. Let's see. I think this is going to be it. Maybe I'll be a little bit further down here. But he says over here, he said, grace be with you and mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ over here, the Son of the Father in truth and love. Well, that's not going to be quite the verse I wanted. But anyway, he says, blessed is the man that readeth over here the prophecy of this book. Blessed is the man that readeth over here. Blessed is the man that heareth. And blessed is the man that what? Doeth it. In other words, you've got to read it. You need to go hear it preached. And then you need to live it. You need to walk it, live it over here on a daily basis, brother. When you're doing that, what's happening? Oh, here, you begin to learn more and more about the things that God requires of you. You're learning more and more about what God requires of you, brother. Then, over here, brother, we become be more and more like Christ in this world, in this low ground of sin and sorrow. And I tell you what, without that, brother, you're not going to be able to do it. He says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doeth He meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper over here. Some said, well, everything, I had an individual one time say, well, Brother Frank, everything I do is going to prosper. Not everything. I said, it just come down to the kingdom of God and working and laboring in His. I said, God will bless you in that over here, brother, when it comes down to your service to Him in this low ground of sin and sorrow. But I said, over here, if you're going to get out here and try to get gain in this world, I said, chances are you may not make the grade, brother. You may not make it. You might be left out all of it over here. But I'll tell you what, when you've got your mind centered on the things of Christ, you remember over here when he was writing, he said, if the eye be single over here, in other words, that eye is single on what? Not on the personal things of this life and this world, but single on that of Christ, single on that of His Word over here. He said, then the body shall be whole and full of light, brother. In other words, you'll be walking in the light of Jesus Christ, the precious Son of God. That's what David said over here. He said, oh Lord, now here's where his eyes are at. David said, oh Lord, he said, Thy Word has been a lamp under my feet and a light under my path over here. Brethren, I tell you what, David said that word, we're talking about this word right here, brother, was a lamp. It was a light unto his feet here. And not only a light unto his feet, but also unto that of his path. Little David was walking in those ways that was honorable unto God, brother. And I tell you what, that's my desire. I trust it's your desire tonight to walk in that way. It's going to be to His honor and to that of His glory, brother. I tell you what, we don't want to go about with the guilt and condemnation over here. But brother, and I tell you what, you want to go forth wholehearted over here. You want to go forth in that way that's going to be to His honor and to His glory. Brother, and I tell you what, when you begin to lay down at night over here, brother, you don't want something bothering you over here, brother. I tell you what, I tried to comfort that family. They had lost that loved one over here, brother. They begin to think, they said, well, if I had done this or if I'd done that over here, brother, a lot of regrets over here. Brother, you need to try to live your life in a way where there'll be no regrets, brother. Well, that whatever needs to be done, you do it to the best of your ability. When it comes down to family, when it comes down to whatever over here, brother, I tell you, and you need to be setting the right example before them. Our children, brother, we'll like it over here because, brother, our eyes have not been focused on that of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, over here. But our eyes have been focused on the personal things of this life, and our children, brother, have somewhat been misguided into that. When Paul, where should your word be? When Christ, when Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, he says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he grows old, he'll not depart from it. Brother, are we trying to do that? Are we trying to set that example over here, brethren? When it comes down over here, when I begin to look at that of Abraham, you study the life of Abraham. The life of Abraham, it says over here that God said that he knew that he would conduct his children in like manner, after that of his life, to the honor and the glory of God. Well, brother, in other words, parents has got to try to correct children. In other words, they've got to try to keep them from doing things wrong. Now, I know when they get to be teenagers, it gets to be a handful, brother. And I tell you, it gets to be a handful. But nevertheless, brother, I tell you, now I'm going to say grandparents too, because I'm a grandparent. But brother, we need to hold that standard up over here, brother, that our Heavenly Father said here in this low ground of sinners are. We need to hold that up and keep that. You say, why should that be, brother? Because in doing that, it's going to be an honorable thing in the sight of Almighty God. That's why Paul says, he says, rear that children up in the nurture, the admonition of God, brother. I tell you what, like I said a while ago, that teenager, they get to be a handful, they don't want to hear you, and they don't want to be rebellious. But brother, I tell you what, we as parents over here, and grandparents, we need to hold that standard of God up. You say, how can it be? I begin to think about that prodigal son over here in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, about 15 over here. That prodigal son didn't want to listen either. He wanted everything that we got his. But he went out into the world, brother. When he went out into that world over here, brother, as I said, you give a calf enough rope, you'll hang yourself, brother. He hung himself out there in his world. In other words, he was wanting over here. He was eating a husk over here. What did he think about it? He said, back in my father's house, it's just servants over here. I'll just go back and be a servant. I ain't worthy to be a son. What happened here, brother? That father was still holding the standard up. That father was holding that standard up, brother. And I tell you what, our Father in heaven today, He's still holding the standard up, brother. He is not wavering in it one iota. As I said this morning over here, when God said something, He didn't change. He's still standing by. Oh yeah. What did a change come, brother? We begin to make the change. We begin to procrastinate, but backslide as it were. We begin to get away from the things of God. Oh here. And brother, we don't need to do it. If you're doing that, what's happening? Your eyes is not on our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not on His Word here, brother. How in the world? You say, well, why should I be so thankful, brother? I tell you, one of the reasons why you should be so thankful is what Christ has done for you. Amen. How did you know that? God made it known in your heart and in the depth of your soul. And not only did He make it known in the depth of your heart and your soul over here, brother, but He's also set it forth in this Word. There's no way to escape it. There's no way to get around it over here, brother. I know we're living in a world today that, you know, they got out here and they promote everything. This nation is really promoting every ungodly thing possible. And it's not God-honoring, brother. And God's Word said that any nation that leaves God will be turned into hell, brother. And I think we're on that road. I don't think I'm the only one that thinks that. A lot of them I've been with and I've talked to, brother, they still think the same thing over here. But I trust that God, I know God's able to be with us. Because He was with His people over here, brother, when the fall of Jerusalem come about in 70 A.D. He was with His people in all of that. But His judgments also was upon them for their rebellion when it come down to that of Him over here. Let me come on just a little bit further over here in that first psalm. He says, The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. In other words, brother, he knows the way of the righteous, but the way of that ungodly is going to perish here, brother, as it goes. I don't care if it's if a rebellious child of God is going in the way of rebellion to that, it'll eventually come to the end of its way, brother. We'll eventually come to the end of our way. But if you're in that way of righteousness, if your eyes and your mind has been focused on that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, brother, and you've been going forth in that, but you're going forth in that, when you come to the end of the way over here and death befalls us, brother, and we depart this life over, it's not going to be the end of the way, brother. The end of that way, brother, is going to be, it's going to be, we'll be in heaven with Him. That way will still continue on, brethren, because it's because of this inspired word. It's called what Christ, our Lord, the living word, that made flesh, and the inspired word that He's given us to go by to govern us here in this low ground of sin and sorrow, brethren. It'll still be standing. I remember one verse of scripture there where I heard this Elder Tommy Roundtree one time. I was with him when he was up preaching over here, and he made this statement, and the word of God cannot be broken, brother. I began to think about that word of God. He said, it'll be easier for the heaven and the earth to pass away than for my word to fail, brother. So that if that word is Christ over here and it's not going to fail over here, brother, that's where our mind ought to be, is in this book each and every day of our life over here. Whatever you're doing, you need to be thinking about it. You need to be meditating on it. You need to be trying to interweave it into that of our lives over here, brother. With us doing that, you begin to be closer and closer to the Lord. And I believe that the Lord will get to be closer and closer to us here in this life over here, brother. And I'll tell you what, and our lives will be blessed by that. Brother, it has never been blessed over here when we've done a way of rebellion, brother. It's always been blessed in a way of obedience when it comes down to the Lord. I believe there have been a people over here, brethren, in this community, brethren, and in this state that's been praying for rain with the great drought and everything that's come. We've been praying for rain. I woke up the other night. It was pouring down. As I woke up there and I just heard it, it was coming down. I laid down on my pillow. I said, thank you, Lord, for this rain. Watering this dry earth over here that stands so much in need of over here. And I said, Father, not only do I thank you for the natural rain, but I thank you for your mercies that you bestowed upon me in this life over here. And the greatest mercy of all, brother, He blessed me to be a part of His kingdom in this low ground of sin and sorrow. I'll tell you what, brother, that's a great blessing here in this life over here, to be blessed in such a way and in such a manner over here that God has blessed us over here. Let me close with this thought here, brother. When He comes down over here, Paul writing over here, again, as I mentioned over here in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans over here, Paul come down, and let me just sort of get this. And while we're, well, I'll just turn around and read it to you, brother. But you over here, the Apostle Paul, in the 8th chapter of the book, in, let's see, 6 and 7, and let me back up here into the 8th chapter of the book of Romans over here, brother. You're going to find him. I'll just close with this. This is where your mind's going to be, should be focused. Our eyes should be focused here, brother. In verse 23 here, he says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies over here. For we are saved by hope. For hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it over here. Brother, I tell you, that's where our mind ought to be on that day over here, to wit the adoption of these bodies, brother, that's going to come out. When you begin to look at that, and you have that hope, brethren, that sweet and blessed hope that God has given us over here. Some said, Brother Frank, that's no such a thing as hope. Well, the Apostle Paul believed in a hope. He said, in a hope of eternal life, a God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. He believed in a hope, brethren, and that's where his hope, that's where his steadfast was. That's where his eyes was on that, what Jesus has done. And that's where my eyes is at, on that Jesus has done for us, brother. God bless you is my prayer. We're going to pray. I trust you remember me.